Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, welcome to Southpaws, episode 474, Gender Reveal Apocalypse. I'm Saverin.
Fuzzwolf.
And this week, the cis are at it again.
Oh my god. See, they need a cisterectomy. Because then they would, you know, that would make them trans, and then they wouldn't have these gender reveal parties for babies anymore.
Yeah. The desire to let people know what shape your baby's genitals have taken is very important, to the point that this is not the first time that a gender reveal party has set off a large-scale wildfire that resulted in tens of thousands of acres burning down.
Yeah. It's ridiculous that we've had this conversation twice. Or yes. This is the second time.
The first one, I think, was actually in Texas.
No, I thought it was also in California.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there was the gender reveal pipe bomb, which resulted in a woman dying because they made a homemade firework that was packed a little bit too tight, and when it exploded, the shrapnel got a lady. I think there was like a gender reveal plane crash where a plane that was supposed to spray pink or blue smoke out on a drive-by, kind of like a sprayer.
Like a flyby, like with a banner kind of thing.
Yeah, except the got hit by the wind and flipped over and crashed. So, Cal Fire law enforcement has determined that the El Dorado Fire, burning near Oak Glen in San Bernardino County, California, was caused by a smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used during a gender reveal party. And people in the replies are like, well, this is the view from my sister's front yard. Sure hope it was a good party. And it's just, you know, average California house and then an entire mountain on fire.
And that have got the orange sky, like from California up into Oregon. Oregon's on fire now, too.
Yep. And parts of Washington. I mean, the entire West Coast is on fire. It's very dry out there right now. And, fire burn. Fire hot.
I shit you not, the sky looks like the sky on Mars. Like, I remember those, like, super awesome clear pictures that one of the rovers sent back not too long ago. And, like, yeah, the west coast of America looks like Mars right now. It's wild.
And those color-corrected photos from Oregon, their skies were red. I mean, they're beautiful, but also kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, and people are like posting it side by side with scenes from Blade Runner 2049, Earth. And it's like, yeah, could not tell the difference, you know.
And of course, putting the Blade Runner music and all that. I mean, because we got past the start of Blade Runner. I mean, that was what, 2019.
2019 was the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations, guys. We are in Blade Runner time. We don't even have the outer colonies. We just have the fire.
And sadness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was that scene from, like, it was a 4th of July thing where they had drone footage and it was all the firework explosions, kind of from the start of the original Blade Runner, where it's like you're over the city and then for some reason in the cyber future past, they put, like, refineries everywhere that are just setting off, you know,
overpressure when they release the fire. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
I just remembered something. Like, this is a story that, like people that have been listening to us for, like, 10 years will remember. But right after Zap moved here, and he drove with me to Method one year. And we were driving through, I guess, parts of Arkansas and Tennessee. Maybe it wasn't Method. It might have been Anthrocon. Actually, but anyway, we passed one of these refineries that was shooting off fire into the air. And he goes, whoa, and looks out the window. And I was like, yeah, man, that's the thing. He's like, I thought that was only in movies. I was like, welcome to America, man. I think this was like 08 or something. This was like not long after he moved here. And it's like, yeah, we really are the apocalypse here.
And of course, this has resulted in people just goofing on the whole gender reveal thing. Megaton in Fallout 3, quest completed, gender reveal party, and it's them setting off the nuke. You know,
my favorite one is the screen cap from Star Trek The Next Generation, where they're clearly under fire, and Worf is reading out a damage report, and it says, he's saying something like, Captain, we have gender reveal parties on deck 6, 10, and 13, or something like that. And They're doing the Star Trek acting, shaking in their chair thing.
Yeah. There's a shot from Sekiro of some burning castle that says gender reveal party. Then, of course, there was another one from Final Fantasy XIV where late Shadowbringers dungeon Amarat, which is you're running through basically the memories of this guy, and it's this massive burning Art Deco city that's getting hit by meteors and shit. It's extremely cool dungeon the first couple times you run it, but it's like the doors open, the fire's behind him, and Emmett Selk says, "It's a boy." And then the, you know, in the font it says, "Norvrant, gender reveal party." The very fabric of our world was becoming unmade, but we did it to know the gender of the Convocation's 15th member's baby.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's the classic Modern Warfare 4, 25 killstreak, press 6 for gender reveal, which a 25 killstreak launches a nuke and ends the match. Gender reveal parties are really they're silly. Yeah. And, like, the person that came up with them is, like, deeply saddened by the fact that they have become this massively weird destructive force.
Yeah, especially since one of her children turned out to be trans and is non-binary.
Yeah, so they're like, well, like, they fucked up.
Yeah, like, and she's totally supporting her child, but she was like, I just thought this would be, like, a cute thing to do, and I never wanted it to be, like, a big thing. And, you know, I mean, years ago, it was like, well, yeah, we used to make fun of them when they were just like a cake or whatnot, and then they started getting really fucking serious with the pyrotechnics and people started dying. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Or like, oh, it's the husband is shooting a box that then explodes into a cloud of smoke, and it's so weird because, again, you're really just telling people the configuration of your kid's genitals. And even then, like, it's not always 100% correct. Like, the doctors can be incorrect sometimes. Not that it really matters, but still, it's very weird.
It's a dumb thing that I wish we weren't so obsessed with. It was like everything with kids. You know, yeah, everyone wants to know if it's a boy or a girl, and they want to buy it pink or blue clothes and, you know, the right kinds of toys for them and shit like that. And it's just like, I don't know, rather than just letting the kids figure that shit out as they grow up. But,
well, I mean, consider
our society has to put them in that little box, you know, from before birth.
So I saw a tweet from I Am McFearless on Twitter that says, "You are invited to a gender conceal party. We will adorn our child in the cloak of mystery, take sacred oaths of silence and burn their birth certificate, gaze upon false idols and weep. There will also be cake." I would go to a gender conceal party. And like the real gender reveal parties can be when trans people come out and say, hey, by the way.
Yeah, see, that I think is cute. Like, when trans people have had a gender reveal party when they've come out as trans. And, like, that seems like a life-affirming kind of thing, you know? But, you know, and that's something that you do when you're older and you've started thinking about gender and figured out, you know, what kind of person you are. And that I can get behind, you know? It's like a wedding party.
Yep. So, in sad news this week, we will never get Buttfuckers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Texas restaurants Fuddruckers and Luby's have announced their plans to liquidate. This is from the Dallas Morning News, and apparently, are they both the same company?
They are. Yes. And that company owns, like, they were both started by different people back in the day. One was in, like, 2008, and one was in, like, 1949, and this, I guess, restaurant conglomerate company, like, bought both of them over a period of time. And they run other restaurants, but these two in particular, I guess, have been hit really hard with Corona, especially Luby's, I would imagine, being a buffet-style restaurant. Like, that is, like, extra not good during a pandemic.
Well, so I can think specifically why these two. Luby's was cafeteria style, so you were being served food, but yeah, they had like various buffet style options. But also with Fuddruckers, like they had the open topping bar, So people would go and get the toppings they wanted for their massive burgers, and they had like cheese dispensers you could put for your fries or just put the cheese on the burgers like a beast. And would do. So
squirt your own ketchup and mustard and stuff like that too. So everyone's touching this same ketchup dispenser.
And like Fuddruckers had been having problems for years in this area. Like the one in the mid-cities had been closed for a while. The one by Grapevine Mills had apparently been closed for a while. And so like the ones that were still around, according to this article, the Fuddruckers site listed 7 restaurants in North Texas, though 6 were marked as temporarily closed. I mean, they were all doing pretty poorly before this.
Right.
And with their particular style of restaurant, they didn't exactly lend themselves to being openable safely in the current environment.
Yeah.
Like, at least near us, certain places have adapted. Like, Nunu Buffet, like, they're just doing takeout. Apparently, they're doing all right. They're still open. Like, that place has been around since as long as I've lived in Dallas.
Like, and are they a chain or are they just
Just a single owner crummy Chinese buffet place. And I say crummy because it's just, you know, it's buffet food. It's not good. You would go there if you just wanted to eat a lot of food. But they've been around forever. It's kind of like Pizzarella, right? Like their food's not amazing, but you'd go there a lot and we don't want to see them go away.
Ajax and I have done pickup from them a few times.
I really need to do that some more because I haven't done it in a little bit and I missed their pizza.
Yeah,
I like it.
I really like their pizza. Oh, I really love their cheese. Like, I've started eating more of their pizza now that we're having it at home. I still will get my calzone sometimes, but I've been really enjoying their ham pizza as well.
And their cheese babies. But that's kind of a bummer. It's just, they're Texas-based restaurants that are closed. And, like, one thing I noticed, because I had to go to the store, is that, like, the Taco Bueno that was just south of Beltline on Marsh has just been like completely demolished and they're rebuilding something else there. Like it had been closed since the start of the pandemic, but like I just noticed the other day, it's a wooden frame there now. That's weird. Again, it's a chain restaurant, but still just it's change.
It's weird to knock down a restaurant in Addison because there's been restaurants where like a restaurant's gone under and another restaurant just moves in. And changes the decor a little bit, which makes sense because, like, the building is already set up to be a restaurant. It has the kitchen. It's got all the equipment in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, HVAC and all that.
Yeah, so, like, why bother, you know, knocking the building down? Usually another restaurant would just move in.
Yeah.
I can only assume that something other than a restaurant is being built.
Yeah, the adjacent Boston Market's been closed for a little while, and, like, there's empty... Like, it was a Burger King, and then it was a chicken restaurant, then it was a barbecue place that is now empty again that's next to the McDonald's there. So, like, there's some turnover there. There's some turnover in the shopping center. I mean, obviously, smaller restaurants are getting hit right now. Duh.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, no, the world is changing, and there's very little I can do to stop it.
Like, McDonald's has enough money that they're not gonna fold if even, like, a few branches close. But they don't even really have to close branches and in the worst of it, you know, they have enough cash that they can just put a pause if they had to, but you know, they do a really brisk drive-through trade anyway. You know, they're just like no dining for a while, you know?
Yep,
drive-through only, and that's fine.
So speaking of food, this is a good transition. So there's an article that came out this week from PC Gamer. The game Crusader Kings 3 came out. And one player has made it his goal to eat the Pope.
You're going to have to explain this for me.
Yes, Crusader Kings 3 is a life sim strategy game. You pick your country, you pick your local religion, and you play starting in like the 800s or so. And you go through like to the Renaissance. And you play a succession of families, a lineage. So like you... as your starting king, you better get married and have some kids. And that heir, whichever heir is the one that survives to become the next in line, after your first character dies, they'll become your main character. So let me just read the a bit of the article. So in a grand and sprawling strategy like Crusader Kings 3, it's important to have a personal goal among with the never-ending list of general objectives you want to accomplish. For Crusader Kings enthusiast and Reddit member Zach7062, that personal goal came very quickly upon beginning the game. His goal was to eat the Pope. When I saw his post on Reddit stating he had conquered every holy site, defeated 3 separate crusades, then reformed the Norse religion to include cannibalism just so he could eat the Pope, well, I had to know more, so reached out for comment. Zach told me via Reddit message he had heard in Crusader Kings 3 you could reform the pagan faiths, one of Zach's favorite features from Crusader Kings 2, which he's played about 800 hours of. Zach began his first game of Crusader Kings 3 in 867 and settled on Norse ruler Halfdan Jarl of Dwarvik. Wanting to see what kind of options it had for forming the faith, Zach told me I popped open the faith screen to check out what tenets were available. As I scrolled, an option caught my eye: ritual cannibalism. One of my favorite achievements in CK2 was Holy Smoke, sacrificed another religion's head as a Norse or Aztec pagan. It was then, before a single day had ticked over, that I knew what I must do. It was my destiny. I was going to eat the Pope.
Oh, God.
And so he conquers northern England, parts of Ireland, mm-hmm. all of Scotland, Halfland died, took over his son. But now, over the course of, you know, a few generations, he finally fought his way down and captured the Pope. And, with Bjorn now a cannibal, and after defending another crusade, the Norsemen sacked Rome and acquired a very special prisoner with a very large hat. When you've imprisoned someone, you can execute them, and if you're a cannibal, you can both execute and eat them. As Zach put it, Pope was back on the menu, boys.
Oh my God.
According to Zach, it took him about 100 in-game years and about 15 real-world hours to accomplish his goal of consuming the Pope. As you can see in the screenshot above, beheading and devouring Pope Gregorius VI had a few effects. Notably, it lowered his stress by 40 points. Bjorn's, not the Pope's. I also love the line, "As I have fair reason, no one will think me a tyrant." I imagine a bunch of citizens hearing the news that Bjorn had decapitated and eaten the Pope and just sort of nodding, "Eh, sounds fair." And finally, eating the Pope came with a 20% chance of becoming ill. Bjorn did, in fact, get sick after dining on Pope meat. "And he almost died," Zach said. "But such is the price of salvation." So yeah, Crusader Kings 3 came out. And for those people that love that style of game, it is out and available and on the Xbox PC Game Pass. So you can, you know, put $5 into that and play it for $5 to really see if you want to like it. Like, I've downloaded and installed it, but I have yet to really look at it because, like, I hear these stories, but it's a lot like EVE Online, where you hear these amazing stories that are really cool, but the actual gameplay is complex and very time consuming. So like, it's like,
put a lot of thought and time and planning into what you're doing to achieve something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, dude right here, he's like, "Yo, I have a goal, I'm going to do it, I'm going to eat the Pope." And thus he did. So, you know, more power to you, Crusader Kings 3 players. That's the kind of out-of-the-box thinking and Pope devouring that really needs to happen in the world. It has been a fairly interesting week for the gamers. After all, they revealed that Tawna Bandicoot design, you know, the...
has been taken over by SJWs.
The SJWs have taken over and tainted Tawna Bandicoot by making her with hot, big tits, big hips, but her hair is slightly blue.
I think they were complaining that her breasts were smaller, right?
I mean, she's wearing a jacket. Because,
like, the picture that I saw of the old one is sort of like Tomb Raider 1 Lara Croft, where she just has like a, looks like a tissue box in her shirt.
Yeah, triangle tits. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's very obvious. And they were saying, if the archaeologists were saying that she was portrayed as like a bimbo character in the first game, but like the second one, she's like going to be stronger than Crash and can kick his ass. And that really upset somebody. One tweet I found was someone, "She's stronger than the male lead," and "male" was in all caps. And they were really pissed off that she punches him in a cutscene or something and knocks him out. And, you know, they made the woman stronger, that she shouldn't be able to hit the main character or something. I mean,
yeah.
The guy was very upset about it, and I was just like, oh, jeez.
The funny thing is, like, so this next Crash Bandicoot game is coming out for PlayStation 4 or 5, one of the two. This particular version of her is from an alternate dimension where both Crash and Coco are dead, and, like, she's the post-apocalyptic road warrior superhero action movie hero thing. I mean, because this whole thing is, like, dimension hopping, various worlds, yada yada. Like, they're doing that with both Crash and the next Ratchet and Clank game.
So is she like Furia from Fury Road, basically?
Yeah, she's an alternate realities action hero. I don't know, man. It's just one of those, oh, people are mad about this? Like, she's still got the big hips, big tits. She's tall as fuck. But, like, oh, she's got
they're
a...
They're complaining about her hips, too.
She's got hips for days. She's got them birthing hips.
Why is that a bad thing?
See, this is the thing, Fuzz. Like, I've kind of had to realize that I don't fucking get this shit. Like, to me, mm-hmm. when I saw her, I was like, wow, that's a nice design. I'm gonna totally see
some... Yeah, exactly. I'm totally gonna see some hot art of her. And I did that very day.
Yeah, like, you can definitely see, if you look, going to good old E621, there's not quite a full page of her new design, but her new design got revealed, and there's 40 pieces of new art of her new design on E621.
Cool.
So
are they all porn? Or just
they're not all porn, but, you know, it's primarily porn that gets posted to E621, so there's that.
Yeah, I guess it's a kind of a biased sample, yeah, anyway. So, I mean,
but using E621 as a metric of the character's popularity is pretty fair, because, you know, when unnamed Lombax got revealed in the Ratchet and Clank, everyone was like, holy shit, she's cute! And then
she is super fucking cute. Yeah.
I mean, hell, even Sampikos did a really nice pic of her.
Nice.
So, you know...
I like the ones that depict her as trans, too. That's cool.
Yeah, those are cute. I mean, because she could be an alternate reality Ratchet. Who knows? They haven't said. And, like, when they did a video that highlighted it, they were like, okay, so you're going to tell us her name? And they're like, ha, no, not yet.
Yeah, I remember seeing a comment, or like, hey, can you guys tell her what's her name so that I just don't have to keep referring to her as new female Bandicoot?
They were just like, no, we can't.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. They're, you know, if the game's not out for a while, they're going to gradually drip feed out information to keep the fan hype going.
Yeah, the new Xbox comes out, I think, November 10th.
Okay.
So that's nuts to think about, because, you know, time has no meaning.
And... Oh, that's cool. They're waiting till after the election. So there's no excuse as, oh, I'm so balls deep in my new Xbox, I couldn't go vote. You know, they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, like, going to Xbox, let's see, they had their announcement. Okay, yeah, they come out November 10th, pre-order starts September 22nd, and, like, the new series, the new Xbox series. Okay, so this is what's nuts, though, because this is where I start to feel a little old, because I remember back in the day when, like, the Wii and the Wii U, that's a little confusing. So the new Xbox, so the previous ones were like the Xbox One, and then there was the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S. The new ones are called Xbox Series X, which is the higher tier one, which is $500, and the Xbox Series S, which is a little less robust and only $300. And I'm just like, but the previous one's the Xbox One X, so Xbox Series X. Oh no, I'm old.
Wasn't the difference something like the cheaper one doesn't have the ability to have physical media or something?
Yeah, I think the cheaper one doesn't have a drive, and it's less RAM or something. Like, there is a $200 difference between the two, so there is going to be some sort of significant change. But yeah, also with xCloud and various streaming options, it's going to be a lot less of an issue. I don't know for sure. Like, it should be less of an issue, because, like, you have access to the streaming games, and you can download games to the hard drive and play that.
Yeah.
The games are designed to play on the X, but are being backported to Series S. But since everything is basically done on x86 architecture at this point, it's basically building your game and then having multiple graphical settings. They're basically very specialized PCs at this point.
Let me ask you a question that I wanted to ask you a minute ago when we were talking about the characters. Was there any kind of similar backlash with the female Wombat character that there was with Tana?
No, because she's a new character and not a redesign.
Okay, yeah. They're not comparing her against anything. That makes sense.
Well, and the thing is, the old design, she was just like this bimbo back character. It doesn't make much sense to be mad about her character actually getting useful, like getting a chance to be playable. Because she was only just a background character that existed to have big tits and a skirt.
Right.
You know, it's like they've basically included like 5 or 6 characters. So this is where I get to talk about, though, a game that I've been playing and really enjoying. That is really cool, and I've been actually streaming it a little bit, just so that I can have the VODs up and people want to watch them. So I've been playing Control. Control is a action-adventure game that is set in the modern day. It is a weird world game. You are Jesse Faden. You're a young woman who has psychic powers, who finds herself at the U.S. Department of Control office building right as some shit hits the fan. This game combines a little bit of the SCP Foundation, a little bit of urban magic stuff like the Dresden Files, a little bit of Warehouse 13 in the terms of like objects of power, and a little bit of YouTube creepypasta in terms of like video production. You've got possessed people, you've got fungus monsters, you've got all sorts of government evil bullshit and experiments gone awry. And let me tell you, I am so fucking here for this game. So, like, cool. The entirety of the game is set within the oldest house. The oldest house is essentially, in a way, a TARDIS. It doesn't have it doesn't move, it doesn't have time travel, but it has, like, the same
bigger
sort
on
of
the inside.
It's way bigger on the inside, but also, okay. Like, people look at it and disregard it. Like, it has the don't notice me field.
Perception filter.
Perception filter, yeah. So the Department of Control, their whole thing is containing objects of power and altered world events. So you remember on, like, Warehouse 13, where, like, they'd be looking around, oh, we got a thing in the world, and you need to go here, and it's like Lizzie Borden's compact is filled with her rage, and people who have it are inspired to kill. Or...
Sounds like Friday the 13th, the series. Where you had all the cursed antiques.
Yeah, that's a lot like it, because a lot of the things in it are like a haunted rubber duck, a haunted post box, a motel that is a gate between dimensions, a swan boat, a safe, a floppy disk that contained nuclear launch codes. And the way that they explain these objects of power is that they're items that people fixated upon and gained power. So, like, the first ability you get is this launch, is like the ability to grab rocks and throw them really hard with your mind. And the object of power that grants you the ability is a 80s 8-inch floppy diskette that housed Russian nuclear launch codes. And because humanity's psyche was so worried about the Russians being able to launch nukes, that this object gained power due to the collective unconscious. And at the time, it would, like, fling pencils in a mug. It wasn't super dangerous, but it was something that needed to be contained. And when you get there, shit hits the fan, and this invading psychic force called the Hiss has invaded the building, which just amps everything to 11. So this thing, when you first encounter it, is, like, flinging bricks and canisters and hand trucks at you.
Right.
So you have to, you know, evade it and bind it to yourself and all this other stuff. But it's a game that came out on the Epic Game Store and was exclusive for a year, but it's like it's a $40 action game, and I have just been enjoying the hell out of it. And, like, the world is so intricately designed. It's like a Metroidvania. Like, once you get new abilities or new clearances, you can go back to previous areas and explore further. Like, there's whole areas that you can see early on, but then you actually get to go back to later by virtue of, like, oh, you got the ability to jump pretty high and hover a little bit, so you can now get to this ledge, and then suddenly this room is twice as large as you thought it was, and there's a bunch of documents. Like, the other thing I really like about the game is that it has tons of little dossiers and little bits of lore. It has some audio logs, which are like their in-world version of Coast to Coast AM. It's got videos called Threshold Kids, which looks like, you know, a YouTube creepypasta puppet animation. There's video clips of Dr. Darling, who's like the head researcher guy, doing short explanations of stuff. But it's filmed like real life. It's a real life dude acting, and you're you know a realistic 3D human, but the in the video it's Dr. Darling is just this dude. And I have put, let's see what it says on Steam. I won't be too surprised. 19.3 hours in it. I have 39 of 67 achievements, and I am really, really enjoying it. Like, I'm done Mission 7, which only 18.5% of players have done on Steam, and, like, I'm looking forward to continuing doing more. Like, I did not expect to dig this game this much, but man, I love it. Plus the fact that the game The Oldest House is an ever-growing, ever-shifting, at least in-universe, giant brutalist concrete government building.
So, oh, it's like, totally up your alley there, yeah.
Like, the environments, you know, if they weren't filled with possessed gunmen and fungus monsters, I would just love to wander through. It is just cool as hell, and I'm super glad I picked it up. It was on sale for $34, but it's still just $40 for the Ultimate Edition. Comes with both the DLCs. And again, I've put 20 hours into the game almost, and really want to continue doing more. I want to beat the hell out of this game, honestly.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that's something cool in my life that I'm enjoying, is a paranormal fiction video game.
Oh, what am I doing these days? Stuff.
Well,
I'm reading a book.
All right, what do you got there?
Let me find the title. So Madison Scott Clary, who's Makio in the fandom, she's the author of the Restless Town short story collection. She has a new book coming out in October, and it's, I don't know how to pronounce the title. It's Koheleth, I think. Q-O-H-E-L-E-T-H. And it's like, it's a volume of two novellas. And it is very cyberpunk. The main character is non-binary. And the world is, there are humans. But you log in. And it's one of those cyberpunk type worlds. It's like completely immersive. Like, you have implants on your on the insides of your fingers that you latch onto these handholds, and there's also like stuff on your spine and everything too. And so you're getting all the sensations. And of course, furries are a major part of the online verse. So the main character is a fennec, actually, when they are in the online version. And some people have been getting, quote-unquote, lost, where, like, they're online, whether their body is connected to it or not, and they're not, like, returning to their body.
Huh.
So, like, I'm not very far in it. I'm not even 20% through yet, but, like, the main character has just become disconnected from your body and is figuring out, what the fuck, where am I, what's going on. But it's a, you know, so far it's just it's a very deep cyberpunk virtual reality type story.
Very cool.
And I'm really digging that. And I got an advanced copy because we're going to be selling it on Bad Dog Books. So I've already got that set up to go live on October 1st.
You and your publisher privilege.
Yeah. Right. But there's going to be, she's going to be doing a print edition also. I'm going to get some copies of the print edition to carry on for Planet as well. But yeah, so that's what I'm reading now. So that's sort of a sneak preview, I guess, of a book that hasn't come out yet, which is very cool.
That sounds fun. Panther and I did finish watching Umbrella Academy Season 2. Those are both...
I have not watched it yet.
They're both really good seasons. I had a lot of fun with it.
Cool.
If you haven't given that show a chance, sit down and see what you like. I really enjoyed it in the end.
I watched Season 1 like a year or two ago when it came out. I just have not watched Season 2 yet.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Agrisuko Season 3?
I haven't seen it yet. I need to finish watching Season 2. So, like, unfortunately... That's something, I mean, that is something I could do while playing a video game, except not really. Like, you have to sit down and watch it, even if you're not listening to subtitles.
A lot of the expressions and stuff with the characters are super cute.
Yeah, so that's something I'd want to
actually watch it. Yeah, I'd actually want to watch it and not do something else. I mean, I'll watch it and do something else once I've already watched it once.
Yeah, like, but I was watching.
At least give it one view first. Yeah,
I was watching it at the gym, and well, can't exactly do that anymore.
Yeah,
but you know, well, what can
just
you
make
do?
Some, does Panther watch that one too? You guys could watch it together.
No, he hasn't shown any interest in it. He's not really a cartoon kind of guy.
Oh well,
and that's fine. That's just not his thing. So, unsurprising, hey, Super MAGFest 2021 is canceled. That was a January con in Boston.
Yeah, I've heard of MAGFest. I know it's normally a big event.
Yeah, but is this one of those? Yeah, they're announcing, hey, this is canceled. Not a big surprise. I mean, we're at this point. I would not be terribly surprised if we don't see cons come back to 2022. So, I mean, just keep that in mind.
Same.
Like, have that in your brain, but. You know, you can hope that maybe we get to do cons and Fermeats before 2022, but odds are we probably won't get to.
We might be able to do meets. There might be something like cities will allow a gathering of up to like 200 people or something, depending on the location that you're in. But 5,000, 10,000 person events, they're not going to come back for a while.
We're starting to see the amount of what happens when you get 460,000 people in an area, thanks to Sturgis.
That's how many people that was? Almost 500,000?
Yeah, in Sturgis, fucking South Dakota. Yeah, it's one of the Dakotas. Yeah, and according to the report, the biker rally added 267,000 cases of COVID and will result in probably $12.2 billion in health costs. To go to a 10-day biker rally. Hell yeah.
I did see it pointed out that the biker rally had at the Smash Mouth show have cost a lot more money than like all the Black Lives Matter protests combined.
Well, not even that. I mean, at this point, Smash Mouth is going to have a higher body count than Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Their head got smart, but their brain got dumb.
I guess so. Like, and apparently, like, the lead singer said something like, fuck masks, we're gonna have a good time, woo! You know, when they're on stage, and I'm just like, damn, dude.
That's nuts.
Not like I closely followed Smash Mouth, but I was somehow surprised anyway that he was such a dumbass.
Well, I mean, they're kind of a meme, right? Everybody's just like, haha, Smash Mouth, that's funny. All-Star, Shrek. And then it's like, oh no. I mean, it was them and a bunch of other people doing performances there. But the real thing is like 460,000 people showing up at a motorcycle rally being, fuck you, COVID. Well,
yeah.
So, I mean, these are the kinds of people that are ensuring that we will never get to have conventions in our lifetime. Maybe.
You know, apparently, Wuhan, China is having large social gatherings again. Like, they've stomped that shit down so much that it's like, okay, we're back to normal, basically. You know, lots of countries are either back to normal or on their way to being back to normal again. And, you know, and yeah, that's pretty amazing. But like, oh boy, here in the States, man, we're like, it's the one thing we're number one in is fucking up. Response to this pandemic.
Yeah. Oh man.
I know. I cannot believe that like we've had this global crisis.
We've been at this for half a year.
And the quote unquote richest country in the world that is supposed to be the fucking hyperpower, the lone superpower, has just decided to not deal with it for a year. Because you know, and it will be longer if Biden doesn't win. You know, if Biden wins, we'll get sensible people in government, in the health department. You know, yeah, he's a creepy old man, but from what I can tell, he actually does defer to scientists and fucking believe science. So, you know, he's someone that will actually, like, put back together that pandemic response team. That Biden and Obama left Trump, and Trump dismantled the pandemic response team in, I think, 2017. And it's like, oh, this is here, and it's something Obama made. I have to destroy it. Well, there won't be a pandemic. You know, hey, this hasn't happened in 100 years, right? Well, guess what? And rather than admit he fucked up, just let's just not deal with it for a fucking year. And, man, we are so fucked if he wins re-election. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where at this point it's kind of like coasting towards Armageddon. It feels like either one way, either it's going to, you know, Biden wins and we have a few months of lame duck pants pissing by Trump, or hell. And there's very little that we as individuals can do. And we're on this ride. So, like, I kind of had to step back from paying too much attention to it because there's literally nothing I can do.
Yeah.
At this point. Like,
I saw this the other day. Someone posted on Twitter, like, so far today, Trump has done, and it was like, these four or five things have come out, and it's not even 11 a.m. yet. And I was just sort of like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know? Like, and they're all really bad, you know? They're all scandals. They're all illegal, you know? They would get anybody else fucking hauled out of office, but he's just done so much and gotten away with it. And whenever says someone's like, oh my god, this violates the Hatch Act. Oh my god, emulance clause. Like, whatever, who cares? You know? Like, he's gotten away with it for four fucking years. I mean, nobody's gonna do anything. Like, they should. They absolutely should. But they're not. Yeah. You know,
it's one of those things that, like, we were really excited back when, you know, before everything hit the fucking fan, and like, hey, you can go back 6 months and we're optimistic and happy. And well, here we are 6 months later and shit's not quite going so great. You know, it's like,
yeah,
prior to, you know, Obama rat fucking everything. But again, there's fuck all that we get to do now. We just get to ride this train until we get our chance to vote and hope to God it doesn't get fucked with. So that's why we aren't covering it too much, because that we are sure that y'all get plenty of it in your real life. Like, I had to go to the point of, like, using uBlock Origin's element blocking feature to just kill all of the trending tabs on the side of Twitter. I don't see the trending hashtags. I don't see the trending news. Fuck off. I see my feed.
Right.
And
yeah, see, like, I use either the Twitter app on my phone or TweetDeck on my desktop. So, you know, I can't really do that, I guess. But then again, it's also not as in my face as it is on, like, the Twitter website.
Yeah, so Twitter.com, it's real bad until you really get hard about curating it. Like, I actually felt really good. There was a flaming hell take in the furry fandom that happened today that I didn't see. Like, I saw people talk about it a little bit. I saw some people making a joke, but I didn't see it.
I don't know the origins of it. Yeah.
And I'm not even going to reveal it, because, like, only by virtue of seeing someone make a silly joke about, you know, burned fur approve, you know, just slap this transparent PNG over, you know, your porn to let people know that it's safe for the kids, that I eventually found the genesis of it. And it was just this galaxy brain thing, but that past me was ahead of the game and had blocked them.
Which zodiac sign is sus? I'm curious.
I don't know about that one. The other one, the one that...
Oh, Vore. You said something about Vore earlier.
It wasn't Vore. It was literally Paws and Maws or Sus.
Oh, that's old.
But this was...
It came up again,
This came up again. So there was this really dumb, unpopular opinion thread that was posted by a 15-year-old. So I wish people were more fucking attentive when they retweeted stuff. Because just don't interact with minors on Twitter.com at all, period. If you see them, block them on site. Just for everybody's safety. Yeah. But this 15-year-old with their shitty little attention-seeking post had people retweeting just shitloads of awful takes. And plenty of people like, oh, this fandom sucks and is so toxic. And these people posting this shit are like 14. So I'm just like, shit take, block, shit take, block, 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 block. You are all blocked. None of you are free of sin. And I had somehow blocked this other person before that, because I managed to miss that hell take in amongst the others. But yeah, it was basically, if your character really emphasizes paws, maws, or you've got a sheath on your character, you're a zoo. And it's like, really?
Why are you even furries if you strip away all the animal aspects of your character.
The only approved persona is now an anime boy that looks like Goku.
I was going to say is a human wearing a keigu. Maybe you can get away with that.
I mean, because we talked last
week. But if your character has a muzzle, you know, that's...
You've got to be one of those anime Nekos that only just has, like, the animal ears, but also have human ears.
Oh, God, that makes no sense whatsoever.
So you've got two sets of ears. That's the only acceptable fursona, so tell me you're a Neko-sona. But the thing is, only cats are allowed, so you're a cat. Congratulations, you're now the cat fandom. And this person...
I don't have anything against cats. I don't want to be one,
Yeah, the people that post this are, like, this person was 21, but they're also like, I'm autistic. And so I kind of give them a little leeway, but also you have, like, 8,000 followers, so go fuck yourself. Honestly, like, furry Twitter is not real-life furry, right? The people you see on Twitter.com posting these wild-ass shit takes are not the kind of people that you're going to necessarily encounter at fur cons. So, like, wild-ass children having insane takes going, like, oh, if you're a Capricorn, you better fucking watch out. You're very sus. Or, oh, you're a Cancer, then that means that you're actually a blight on our community, just like, you know, actual Cancer. And to that I just say clacks menacingly. So, like, the people that talk this hot shit online are also the kind of people that can't look the McDonald's worker in the eye when they ask for more nugget sauce. They're cowards and children, and you can safely disregard them. Furry Twitter is not furry reality. And so, whenever you see some insane-ass take by a weird child looking for attention, ignore it.
Block and ignore.
Block them. Block and move on. That is what I've been doing. I have taken that to heart. If someone has a shit take in my presence, I just block them. I have a large swath of furry Twitter blocked at this point. Maybe not that large a swath, but a good number of the under 21 crowd at this rate, because I don't want to see your shit-ass opinion. Mm. And I admit that as a podcaster who's putting my shit-ass opinion out into the world, that puts me a little bit of hypocrisy, but Twitter's a bad enough site as it is, and I want to make it as enjoyable as I can. So...
The difference is that you can inadvertently see other people's shit-ass opinions on Twitter, either via a retweet or because somebody else liked it or something like that. But you actually have to go out of your way to hear our shit-ass opinions. You have to download the podcast and listen to it.
Yeah, so, you know, we're here and talking, but, like, look, the people that are talking on Twitter.com and canceling people for having tars and... big paws and neon dicks or whatever.
I guess tars are super sus because they have twice as many foot paws.
Yeah, and, you know, think about how many ribs they've got. Like, no creature has more than this amount of ribs, but they go against furry Jesus and have double rib cages.
Oh, you know why?
Think about rib the sax solos.
Rib for your pleasure. Rib for your pleasure. Yeah.
God.
Because, you know, when you get up in there with that hyper and, you know, you're tickling their lung, rub it up against those ribs on the inside.
God.
And when you come, shoots right out their mouth.
God. But yeah, I feel bad because, like, I saw a tweet from someone that was like, at this stage of furry discourse, I'm just waiting for someone to eject out a hell take saying tars are half morally acceptable and half problematic. And the replies are just like, seen it. Because we had that discussion last week with Furry Life Online. And it's been nice because, like, once those replies and tweets cool down, I haven't fucking thought about it at all. It's its own problem. Have fun. Storm in the castle. Bye.
So, did you know then that you can only have oral sex with tars? Because you can only have sex with the top half. The bottom half is where all the sin is.
Okay, well, you know, we've determined the spine line is the arbiter, and, like, I've had to cancel one of the villains in Final Fantasy XIV because he built a dragon tar robot.
I thought you were going to say Red 13 was canceled because he's from Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah, he's from Final Fantasy VII, and he's, like, a talking lion dog guy, but, you know.
Oh, well, he may talk, but, you know, I'm sorry, his spine line is all wrong.
He talks, and he's a couple hundred years old, and at the end of the game, the base game, it's determined that, yes, he does indeed fuck, because he goes there with cubs at the ruins of Midgar at the end of the credits in Final Fantasy VII.
I'm really happy to know that it's canon that Red 13 fucks. Thank you, Saffron.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just here to bring little bits of light into your world.
Yeah,
do totally. My best. You know, talk enthusiastically about fun video games and let you know that the hot lion from Final Fantasy VII does indeed fuck.
All I've ever wanted to know.
So, we did get an email last week, Fuzz.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, cool, of course we do. We're a popular podcast. Yeah, exactly.
we're big deals on the internet, don't you know, Fuzz? Not a million-year-old podcast by a couple of gray muzzles who are just like, fuck them kids, god damn.
Yeah.
But don't actually fuck them kids.
Guests of honor. Cons that no longer exist.
Hell yeah, baby. I mean, just like all other conventions, they don't exist, but that's neither here nor there. So this one was sent to southpawscast@gmail.com. That's our email address. It does still exist. You can totally send us shit. You can tell us we're a bunch of dumb old farts. It might hit our spam filter, but don't do that, actually. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the... Well, I said a couple weeks ago because this is a response to episode 472, which was like a month and a half ago, I think. But anyways, dude, we're talking 2020. About...
That could have been like a year ago for all I know.
Yeah, exactly. But we talked about bisexuality and coming to grips with that and coming out. And this person wrote in their coming out story.
Cool. So
this is from Jake. Thanks for writing in, Jake. Hi, I'm writing in response to episode 472. I'm 30 and knew I both liked boys and girls since third grade. I actually still have a crush on my best friend. I was in middle school when I heard and learned the word bisexual. I had a lot of guys and a couple girl crushes throughout high school. I kept it hidden for a very long time. I got married when I was 22 and been married to my wonderful wife of 8 years. This past New Year's Eve, I decided it was time to stop hiding. I kept talking about how I thought my best friend was cute. She flat out asked me, "Are you bi?" I said no, and then a short pause, and I said, "Yes," and then she told me, "I don't care if you like guys too. It doesn't bother me." I gave her a big hug and then called my mom and best friend and told them it wasn't really a big deal. They already knew I was bi and I was just waiting for me to tell them. My mom, who is gay, told me everyone comes out at their own time. Felt so relieved and happy to finally get out of the closet. Jake.
Cool.
Yeah, coming to an understanding of your sexuality later in life is completely valid and normal, really, because like we live in such a cis-heteronormative society that everyone's expected to be both cis and straight, that suddenly when you figure out, even if you've known for a long time that you don't fit the mold, when you can actually come out and be like, yeah, I don't fit the mold, by the way, it feels really good.
Yeah. It feels like being true to yourself and, like, you don't have to play the pronoun game with who you're dating or what you and your spouse did over the weekend, you know. It takes a load off. And, you know, one thing to remember also is that it's, for non-straight people, it's a continuing process. Like, you're always coming out. You know, you're always asking yourself when you start a new job, am I going to be out? You know, I'm talking to this random person. Am I going to be out? You know, am I going to be out to my dentist if they happen to ask about my personal life while I have a mouthful of instruments? Which, funny enough, I am out to my dentist because my dentist is the dentist that Tyrion had seen since he was a child.
Uh-huh.
So the dental staff know all about when I moved here, our wedding, when we bought the house. Tyrion's parents also saw that same dentist when they lived here. So, like, this is like a family dentist going back. So, yeah, it's funny. But, yes, the whole dental office knows, you know, that we are husbands. and for your doctor, for your primary care physician, you totally should be out to them because your sexual health, you know, you may have different needs depending on your sexuality and your gender identity.
Yeah. God, I had that problem, though, with my previous GP because when I was like, hey, can I just get some standard STD testing? They were like, oh, I think you've been exposed. And I was like, no, it's just a normal part of sexual health is knowing your status. And they were like, I don't know.
Apparently, only queer people got that education.
Yeah, so...
You know, when I was in my early 20s and I'd first come out to myself and I went to, like, this was back in Florida, and I went to, like, the young adult kind of queer house, basically. They did free testing and stuff like that, so, you know... The guy asked me all the questions, and I take the test, and then he, you know, he tells me, you know, you know, good sexual health, getting tested, et cetera, et cetera. I had people that were active in the queer community there that were always talking about sexual health, condoms, condoms, condoms. There's like so many bowls of condoms, you know, because they want you to practice safe sex also. And it seems weird to me that, like, apparently that's not a part of straight culture. But a lot of people are just like, why would I get tested for anything, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, I was just very, very blunt with her. I was like, look, I'm a bisexual 35-year-old adult. I have sex with men and women, and I need to know this. And she was like, oh, geez. Like, she didn't say, oh, geez, but she was kind of, like, taken aback that I was so blunt with her. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm 30 goddamn five at the time. I didn't say that either, but I'm like, I'm 35. I can't mess around with this. And she was like, all right, that's fair. And yeah, I came back with no issues, but I needed to know that. I needed to know my status. And like when we were at ACFI last year, I got the standard like pinprick HIV test. And again, that came back negative.
Was that the con we went to together? Did that together? Yeah. Or was that Fiesta?
No, it was me and Ajax that went down there, but you came down as well. Ajax and I ran the table, and you were just there.
Right, yeah. But there was a con where, it was Fiesta. You and I went down to the bottom floor at a reunion tower, and we got the free tests there.
Yep, and I think they also had those at... No, they didn't have it at... not Tales and Tornadoes. Anthro Expo, the Oklahoma one.
Oh, right, yeah.
But anyways,
Yeah.
You know,
but so basically what happened was you were like, look, lady, it's canon, Saverin Fox.
Yes.
And then they were like, oh, okay. We'll give you the test then.
Yes, it
but
is.
But I have the exact same experience with my doctor here, where like the nurse was like, literally, I'll have to go and ask the doctor. And then they brought the doctor in and he was like, have you been exposed? Yes, AIDS-infected blood just exploded into my eyes or something. And it's just like, no, I'm just a sexually active adult. You know, is this a standard thing you do? And they were looking like I ordered some special request or something. Like I'd been like, I want that surgery where you can have two of your ribs removed so you can suck yourself off. They were like, oh, sure, that's a routine procedure.
Yeah, and, like, I had blood tests done last time I was at the doctor because I had to go in and actually, like, do the usual, like, check your lungs and shit. And turns out my lungs were actually behaving more than they were usually because I was able to pass the little, not really breathalyzer, but the lung function test without having to do the step two. And they did, like, a very, very cursory physical. They did blood work as a part of the physical because that makes it included because they get a physical each year, so they don't charge me extra to check if my blood, what flavor of Casey Masterpiece barbecue sauce I've got going in my veins. But apparently everything there turned out normal, at least everything that they could quick test for, and I haven't gotten anything back from like the testing centers or whatever. So if there's some dire thing that wasn't immediately found, so I guess I'm a fairly healthy 37-year-old adult.
Yeah, I'm just remembering my last doctor visit where they were like, all your levels and everything were fine, but your blood was chunky. You've been drinking a lot of Prego spaghetti sauce. I was like, yes, actually. Like, we had to run your blood through a sieve before we could actually test it.
It's like, hey, slow down on the chunky blood, okay?
It's only supposed to coagulate after you die. We don't know how you're walking around.
But yeah, like, obviously right now, you really shouldn't be hooking up with random people and fucking. So, you know, don't just be using Tinder or whatever during the pandemic. That seems like a really bad idea. But
especially not in California, because it's super easy to catch a fire.
Yes. You know, don't use Tinder. You might get burned.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that's where the burning sensation when you urinate comes from. Use Tinder.
There we go.
See, we're tying it all together, Saverin.
We're helping.
Oh, no. I said tie. We're canceled now. Because our characters have knots.
Yep. We're 100% sus. Well, since it's nearly 11 o'clock at night, Fuzz, we should probably wrap this up.
Oh no, we're cisgender.
So as
right, yeah.
As okay, always, right. You can find us on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. You can send us emails at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find us on patreon.com/southpawscast. You know, we unfortunately have not produced any supplementary stuff in a while because we haven't been able to get together and watch shit. It's a little hard. We really need to figure out a way to like do stuff over Discord, or you can share the video. Like, I might have to pirate a movie or something and we can just watch it together over Discord. And
I guess it's just laziness that we haven't. I mean, there is technology to do this.
Yeah, it's just not the same. We just haven't gotten around to
it. Yeah, it's not this. It's fun being together in the living room at the same time, having pizza and watching a movie, and sometimes Doggo joins us. And
it's not quite so simple right now.
Like, if I play a movie that I bought on iTunes on my computer monitor, if I share that, can you see that? Or is that, like, DRM so much that it just shows up blank?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Like, there's probably some DRM stuff that prevents me from sharing, like, opening Netflix in a window and then sharing that window via this. I mean, I don't know. I haven't tried it, but I'm also just, we haven't tried to do it yet. So maybe we should.
Well, we got the weekend in a couple of days. Let's get together online, spend a little time just fucking around with different screen sharing, streaming solutions and whatnot.
Sounds good.
Come up with something. Okay, cool. So that's what we're doing. I'm on Twitter, at Fuzzwolf. You follow me there. You can follow my publishing company, at Fur Planet. Next month is Furry Book Month. October has been Furry Book Month for the last 2, 3, maybe 4 years. The Furry Writers Guild is doing a 2-day online furry writing convention. That they're calling Oxford, and that is going to be October 17th to 18th. So they're doing that in conjunction with it being Furry Book Month in October. So this week I'm going to say, hey, if you're interested in furry writing and furry books, follow Fur Writers Guild on Twitter. And that's the account that will be posting more info about online convention next month. And I'll be retweeting it on the Fur Planet account also, and there will be various sales and deals and stuff like that as well. So
very cool.
That's coming up. So yeah, check that out.
You can find me on Twitter at SavinDrake. I post cute pictures of my dog and other things. But also I have picked back up streaming. I've been streaming Control and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And even if nobody's watching it, I have the VODs for posterity that you can go back and watch. The first VOD had some issues, so it's not up, but the second, third, and fourth, but I might, like, re-edit it and then post it to YouTube. But it's Control. It's pretty cool. And Shiva is in the fan chat, which has grown a little bit. Yay! And you can have conversations in between the porn.
Yes.
It's heavily moderated.
Keep the assholes out and the porn flowing.
Anyways, hey, so we're going to wrap this up. This has been Southpaws. Hopefully we'll see you next week. Maybe Steve will join us if she's feeling up to it. So on that note, good night.
And wash your filthy paws.